Following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, June 24th, 2018. Thank you to Dan and Lona Ruckert for your sponsorship.
Round of applause, I'd say, as a thank you. Thank you for showing us the passion and joy you have in doing what you do this morning. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Holy Trinity. Special welcome to any of you who might be guests with us this morning. We're glad you're here and hope you'll join us again. We also welcome those who are joining us on KCHAC Radio and local TV as well today. Our theme today is following Jesus. We're going to jump back into the book of Mark. And we're going to hear a story about Jesus out on the water. And we're going to hear about what it might say for our life today. So at this point, I'll invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll join in worship together. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin and whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Join me, please. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. May Almighty God strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. O God of creation, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, lead us. By your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated.
The first reading is from Psalm, the 107th chapter. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity, and they reeled and staggered like drunkards, and were at their wits' end. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Here ends the reading.
God, please stand as you're able. The gospel reading this morning is from Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Here ends the reading. Well, I'm going to invite you to take out one of the black Bibles in your chairs if you'd like to, or if you brought a Bible with you, just because I want to share a little bit about the story we're going to read today. And I'm going to invite you to turn to page 816 towards the back. And as you're turning to page 816, I'll remind you, as we've been talking about, we do have a service off of the lake this week, and we figured, why not have a fun service with good food, good fellowship, beautiful environment that we have? And I think God is telling us it's a good idea because our passage this week happens to be Jesus out on the water. But I want to give you a little context today. In today's passage, just before, so if you take a look at your Bible, we're going to read where it says, "Jesus stills a storm." But if you look right before that, Jesus has been doing some teaching about the kingdom of God. So just before, when you look before verse 35, Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God. And after he teaches for a while on the land, he then gets in a boat to use as his pulpit for a little bit more teaching about the kingdom of God. So that's where we are right before our story. Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of God. And then we hear today, Jesus said, "Let's get in a boat and go to the other side." So that's verses 35 till the end of chapter 4, verse 41. And then I just want you to know the context before we hear today's message, and that is after they cross to the other side, we have three stories of healing. And Jesus is going to show the disciples what the kingdom of God looks like. So he teaches about the kingdom of God before. He says, let's get on a boat and go to the other side. And then he shows them what kingdom work looks like. So that's our context for today. But we're focusing on verse 35 for now. So I have to tell you something about this body of water. It wasn't so much hopping on a pontoon and going across beautiful Cedar Lake. In that time, crossing the Sea of Galilee could be rough waters, for one thing, because of its shallow nature, but crossing the Sea of Galilee meant they were also crossing over into Gentile territory. So before, they were in Jewish territory, but when they crossed the Sea of Galilee, they were heading into Gentile territory. So this point, when Jesus says, let's go across to the other side, some people say this is the beginning of God's kingdom going into and beyond Jewish territory to Gentile territory. So Jesus did. He rallied the disciples, and while they were on their way to go to the other side, a storm rages, and the boat's stability is threatened. And as you heard, Jesus was asleep. Jesus was asleep, and the disciples were united by their fear. They were all afraid and had lack of faith, in Jesus' terms. And in our story, the disciples were in this boat in the middle of this chaotic storm when Jesus is called upon to wake up because they knew they needed help. And that's when Jesus shows he has power over even storms. And Jesus simply says, "Peace be still." And the storm is stilled. But I told you, before today's passage, Jesus was teaching on the side of the Sea of Galilee in Jewish territory. In today's passage, Jesus stilled the storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But I believe there's something important that we can gather after our story. Because after today's passage, after they make it to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, we hear three healing stories. Three healing stories. First, we hear the healing of a Gerasene demoniac, someone having demons. Second, we hear about this hemorrhaging, this bleeding woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And then third, we hear a healing story of this little girl who people believe to be dead. And before today, again, Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God. After, he's practicing what it looks like. And I want to tell you about these three healing stories because I think they tell us something about our life today. So the first one, the first person Jesus heals when they get to the other side is this demon-possessed man who was living in tombs, it says. And it says that the people had tried to chain him up to keep him securely away from others. And Jesus goes and heals this man. And then he wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus sends him back into the people, the community he's from. And then second, we hear about this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. And since in that day and age, blood was considered unclean, she would have been isolated for 12 years. And again, Jesus heals her and then reunites her into the community. And then third, we hear this story about a man pleading with Jesus to help this little girl. This little girl who they thought was dead. But he says, "Talitha kum," it means little girl, get up. And she did. So Jesus shows that God can even heal at times of death. And these three stories, they may seem very different, but they have something in common. We see Jesus show us that the kingdom of God and kingdom work is about healing, whether it's mentally or physically or even eternally. But there's something else that they have in common, and that's that when we read these healing stories from the Bible, they all are stories of people who've been separated separated from the people they know and love. Whether it's because of the fear of behavior, which is the case of the demon-possessed man, whether it's fear of this unclean blood from this hemorrhaging woman, or whether it's fear of death and that separation. In each circumstance, though, Jesus bringing the kingdom meant healing, reuniting, and restoring. And I have to tell you, I think it's hard to read this text in the context of what's been going on this week. And not to think about what it might actually mean for our life. Because friends, I think it's pretty clear we've been in a storm. This week, the headlines have been filled with people speaking out about zero tolerance policy that separates immigrant parents from their children. And I have to tell you, I can't imagine a child not having their parent when they're hungry, or when they're going to bed, or when they're sick, not feeling well, or when they're afraid to be in a completely new place. And while, of course, immigration policies warrant deep discussion, what I find powerful about this week is how much Christian leaders across the political spectrum have been united. United in this common commitment to have our faith embodied through united families and restored families that have been torn apart. Looking at the three top Christian magazines and websites this week, Christianity Today, which is known to be conservative evangelical voices, Sojourners, known to be progressive voices, the Christian Century, which is known to be mainline Protestant voices, they all spoke to it. If you read Christianity Today, there was an article from Ed Stetzer, who holds the Billy Graham Distinguished Chair at Wheaton College. If you read Sojourners, there's an article by Jim Wallis, and Jim Wallis is a New York Times best-selling author, public theologian. He also served on President Obama's advisory council. Or if you read Christian Century, there was an article by Peter Marti, who was the publisher and is the publisher of the Christian Century, and he's a senior pastor of a ELCA Lutheran church in Davenport, Iowa. And he's been given the Parish Pastor of the Year award in the past. But if you read any of the three this week, all three voices spoke up. And similarly, the leaders of faith communities across the spectrum were united on this common commitment to healing and restoration, believing that's what Scripture calls us to do and be about. There was a statement collectively written, and this is a long list, so be prepared, but I want you to get the point. There was a statement written collectively with our own bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, as well as faith leaders of the Diocese of the Armenian Church of America, the Islamic Society of North America, the Bishops' Committee for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the United Church of Christ, the Moravian Church, Southern Province and Northern Province, the Mennonite Church, the Christian Church, the Union Reform Judaism, the Islamic Relief USA, the Presbyterian Church, the Reformed Church in America, the Methodist Church, the National Council of Churches, and the African Methodist Episcopal Church, stating this: we affirm the family as a foundational societal structure to support human community and understand the household as an estate blessed by God. The security of the family provides critical mental, physical, and emotional support to development and well-being of children. Tearing children away from parents after a dangerous journey to provide a safe and sufficient life is cruel and detrimental. Or if you read another joint document that was put together titled Reclaiming Jesus, signed by many other faith leaders, it talked about separating immigrant children from their families is not biblical. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops confessed that at its core, asylum is an instrument to preserve the right to life. Families are the fundamental element of society. And then Cardinal Sean O'Malley charged Christians to speak up, saying, I can't be silent when the country's immigration policy destroys families, traumatizes parents, and terrorizes children. So why do I say all this today? As the Christian church, the purpose of gathering is coming to hear the word of God and then to wonder about what it means for our life. And today we hear in our scripture passage that this storm is no match for Jesus. It's no match. And I think it's good to remember that Jesus is not only in the boat with us, but Jesus also has the power to say, peace, be still, in the middle of it all. And while these voices have been heard, our Bishop Elizabeth Eaton has said this: I acknowledge the new order to keep families together, but for how long and in what conditions? I'm troubled by what the executive order does and does not guarantee. There's no provision for reuniting children already separated from families, nor for children whose parents have been deported. So this week, Jesus finished teaching about the kingdom of God. Then he set about going in a boat with the disciples across the Sea of Galilee to the other side to bring about the kingdom of God. And it's a story about Jesus crossing a border to show that the kingdom of God is not confined to one geographical region. And it's a story about Jesus going to bring healing to people mentally, physically, eternally, and communally back to the people they've been separated from. So as we hear Jesus' words today, may we all follow Jesus out of the boat, into the world, and likewise be in the business of restoration and healing all people. Amen. Let us pray. God, you have made each of us different, and yet we hear that we're all made in your image. I can't fathom the pain of the cries experienced by the children and parents. And we hear about what your kingdom is like. And as we travel through rough waters, remind us that you're with us. And you've called us and enabled us to be agents of healing. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Fallon. You can be seated. Now, God, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as you go on your way today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.